Welcome back to the program. Great to have your company, and it's always a pleasure to have the company of the greatest of all time. Andrew Gaze has been good enough to pick up the phone and give me some of his time in between his basketball and his AFL duties these days with Fox Footy. Gazey, great to have you back on. Thanks for joining me.
It's an absolute pleasure, Dwayne, and an exciting time for Hoops fans like you and me, because we've got the finals coming up, and they should be spectacular.
Absolutely. Let's talk finals. I want to talk Olympics. I want to talk a few things with you, Ben Simmons, obviously. But, okay, yes. Let's talk finals first. You got the Kings ready for this position they're in right now. Are they the ones that you're backing to go all the way?
Well, only you, me, my wife and my dad actually believe that. But no, they are. They are in fine form. I think that they've had to deal with some adversity with injuries to Kevin Lynch, Craig Mole, and a few others along the journey throughout the course of the season, and they've managed them magnificently. But right now, they're primed. I think that they're going to be the team to beat. They've only lost 8 games all season, and in a multi-series type arrangement, they're going to be hard to overcome. But having said that, their margin for error is small, so they need to be playing to or near their full potential in order to maintain that advantage. But if they do, I can't see anyone beating them, particularly in a 5-game series if they were to get to the grand final.
Do you think it'll go 3? Do you think Melbourne United might be able to get them at home?
Yeah, I do. I think Melbourne United are a team that, well, before the start of the season, they were my tip. To them and Sydney were the two teams that I felt were the most likely to win the title. And since then, we've seen Perth do some great things. But I think on their home court, you only have to look at their firepower with Trimble and Long and Chris Golding. Those guys get going. And provided Dave Barlow is healthy, and I haven't heard an update, but we were calling the last game that they played, and it looked like he tweaked his calf. And we all know how calves can be a little tricky. So I think Dave Barlow is a big, big factor in what Melbourne United can do, and particularly against a team like the Sydney Kings, to have a guy that can hit the three, stretch the floor, open up the paint a little bit against a team that's going to, you know, with their five, they're going to sit guys underneath the rim. You've got to be able to knock them down from the perimeter, and to have that extra guy that can knock down the three, I think, is important.
So where do they stop the Kings? Because the Kings have got multiple weapons. We know that Casper Ware's a superstar. Didi Lazada has had an outstanding season. How do they go about beating the Kings? Is it their defense? Is it putting a score of 100-plus on the board? Is it a combo of both? Who do they specifically try to shut down?
Well, I think that it is about tempo. And the Melbourne United like to play up tempo themselves. And if you're going and you're saying, well, if you're just using this season as the evidence, then clearly Sydney can do it better than Melbourne United. So I think that Melbourne has got to be a little selective, because the Sydney Kings want to get out and run. They've got some big guys in there that they do a really good job on the boards and can push their break. And they've been very good defensively. I think that for Melbourne to have a chance, they need Trimble and Golding in particular to exploit the way in which the Kings are going to play defense. You know, the Kings on those on-ball screens, they like to sit guys off and sit in the paint. And that does create a lot of pressure on the guy guarding the ball. And you get a little bit of a shiver from one of those screens, you're generally going to get some quality shots from the perimeter. And it's going to be tough to score around the basket when you've got Bogut around there, and the way in which that they rotating, it's very tough to score around the basket. The Kings have been great at defending the hoop all season. But if Melbourne United can hit the perimeter shot, they can do a job at the other end of the floor and trying to contain Casper, who's been a bit of their nemesis throughout the course of the season, then they're absolutely into this series up to their eyeballs.
Wildcats and Cairns. Cairns have been phenomenal this season, but the Wildcats look like, well, Tarico White looks like he's injury-free at the moment. Trained strongly yesterday.
Yep.
So with Tarico and the way that Bryce Cotton has been putting seasons together and more so final series together, I can't see the Wildcats losing this.
No, you're right, and I can't either against Cairns. And what a season the Cairns Taipans have had. They only won 5 or 6 games last year. They've got a great squad led by Machado this season, who Most people see as the equal in regards to MVP. Bryce Cotton won that award. No one would have complained if Machado had won it as well, such as the impact he's had on the Cairns taipan. So I'm a bit with you, Dwayne. It's hard to see Perth losing this series. But having said that, the little asterisk you've got to put next to it is they played three games throughout the course of the regular season, and Cairns won twice. And one of those times was a 20-point smashing in one of the toughest places to play, and that is in Perth. So it sort of goes against the evidence that we've had throughout the course of the season. But the finals, also Plumlee coming in, I think that he makes a big difference to the Wildcats. It's hard to see how Cairns getting over the top of them.
Now, you're a five-time Olympian? Yeah, that's right, isn't it? Five?
That's correct.
Just the five of them. Flag bearer as well. And you would have given your right arm to play for Australia at the Olympic Games.
Yep.
Is the current crop like that too? And do you think Ben Simmons will risk himself? Where are you looking at that at the moment?
Well, it's a little bit different. And unfortunately, when I was going through and my era was going through, we didn't have to consider $250 million on the table.
Yep.
So we didn't have a lot of those other things that players have to consider these days back in our time. Now, personally, as I sit here or stand here talking to you as a 55-year-old man, I say, take the moral high ground and say, I wouldn't have mattered anyway. I would have loved to have played. Would not have mattered.
Yep.
But until you're actually in those circumstances, it's hard to understand. But I think each and every one of the players, Ben Simmons, and they all have a burning desire to go to the Olympics and represent Australia. There's no doubt about their intent to want to do that. But then, injuries, the coronavirus, other things come into your decision-making process that all are reasonable things that when you're making a call on your career and these opportunities.
So Brett Brown's got this little situation happening where he, to keep his job next year, if he's there next year at the 76ers, he's going to need a fit Ben Simmons for round one. But if he's going to actually get the monkey off Australia's back and his own back as the Boomers coach, he's going to need Ben Simmons in Tokyo. It's a tricky one because one might be counterproductive for the other.
No, I hear what you're saying, and the way you're presenting it absolutely makes sense, and you can understand why there might be some sort of conflict. But I think when you're in the off-season and you're saying you want to get better, you want to continue and improve, I think to have access to one of your players – and be able to work with them with the Australian team, with an incredible goal, an amazing opportunity, an experience that you can never ever replicate, and all the benefits that go along with that, I think that they strongly outweigh the any perceived benefits of not being involved. Now, particularly when you're looking after one of your major assets. When you can be with them day in, day out, continue to coach and work with them, educate them in this incredible environment, amazing experience, I think that they are all positives. And the thing that I look back on as well, if you go back to the various American teams that we've seen in the Olympics over the past three or four Olympics, or even international players that have gone and played for their countries in the Olympics, now, this is just me. There's no science to this whatsoever. But my gut feel is the vast majority of them have very good seasons following the Olympics as opposed to when they don't. They just stay at home and work. Now, you know, there are plenty of examples that you can look at to highlight that. But I think it's something that that there is something to it because it is such an incredible experience that until you actually go through it, it's very hard to articulate. But with someone like Brett, who's been there before, I think that he would be very supportive of Ben being involved.
So do our guys that are earning, you know, squillions, do they actually stay in a dorm in the village with the other athletes in Tokyo? Or do they go to a 6.5-star hotel penthouse?
Well, Well, the American team doesn't stay in the village.
Right.
But the Australian team have. And I say this. I say that is a very significant part of the overall Olympic experience. Yes, competing and what you do in the sporting arenas is ultimately what you train a lifetime to do. But when you're thinking of Olympism and the ideals of the Olympics and the spirit of the Games, the benefits associated with being in that Olympic village and sharing that experience and learning from the other athletes, all those things are far, far, far more superior than going and staying in some six-star accommodation. And it's something that you will take with you for the rest of your life. So I think that by and large, the Australians have had that attitude because we have players that have been there before in the past. And yeah, the bed might be a little bit too short. And yes, maybe, you know, the TV's not quite as sharp as what it needs to be. And yes, there are many things that you can identify that say, well, these things could be better. But you've got a roof over your head. You've got air conditioning. And you're surrounded in the most amazing sporting environment anyone could ever imagine. To me, it's a no-brainer that you should to get the best out of your athletes, stay in the village.
Talking to the greatest of all time, Andrew Gaze. Last one from me, Gazy. Milwaukee Bucks are setting records. They've already reached the playoffs, and all of a sudden, Giannis is the number one player in the game. Until LeBron makes a statement of his own.
Well, LeBron's making statements daily. I don't know if you saw his game yesterday as well. He is extraordinary, and certainly Giannis, when you see what he's doing and the way in which he's impacting that Milwaukee team, that he's incredible. He was the MVP last season, and I dare say it's going to take some beating for him to not get that award again. But if you're thinking of it, LeBron James is right there. And what LeBron is doing, the way in which he's incorporating Anthony Davis into the Lakers and making sure that he gets what he needs in order to contribute and bringing the best out of his other players. LeBron is a freak. And, you know, I've always been an advocate, and still as we speak, I say that Michael Jordan is the greatest player ever to lace up a pair of boots. But the more I watch LeBron and the way he goes about it, he's closed that gap significantly in my judgment, because he is incredible the way in which he continues to be able to play at such a high level. 17 seasons he's been involved, yeah. I think it is. And he's shooting the ball. He's shooting the three ball as good as he's ever shot it. It's quite phenomenal the way that LeBron has been able to maintain such a high level of excellence over a long period of time.
Great to have you, Gazy. Always nice to be able to pick your brain, and I'll see you at the playoffs.
I can't wait, Brano. You and me behind the mic. We'll get it all going. It's going to be great fun.
Bring it on. NBL final start. Wildcats and Cairns. Kings and Melbourne United. The Melbourne United game in that three-game series against the Kings is the Monday night game. So make sure you buy a ticket to that Monday night game. And there is a little rumour floating around that if Melbourne United can beat the Kings and set up a grand final playoff five-game or best-of-five-game series against the Wildcats, we could see Rod Laver Arena used, which would be, well, that would just be ridiculous to think that we could fill Rod Laver Arena for an NBL game. But, hey, not so ridiculous, because this has been the best season we've ever had. Great to have Andrew Gaze on the program. Going to take a break. You with Dwayne's World.